Well, God, there's lots of names out there. We all have names, but no name carries the power, the importance of yours. It does because of your Son, Jesus Christ, and what he did. He didn't just talk at us, he backed it up. And we're a great demonstration of love and sacrifice. And God, because of that, you call us to follow in your example so that we, in our small ways, with our names that don't mean as much as yours, might point others to the name that is above all names, that you might be glorified and that people might be saved. God, we pray as we open your word today that you would guide and direct our hearts. Help us to be teachable. Help us to understand what it is you'd like to communicate to us through your word this morning. We pray this in your name, amen. Well, all right, kiddos, you were free. I was thinking this morning as we were opening windows and finding fans and wondering how many people would be here that I'm glad we're not in the parking lot still. Can you imagine? We'd probably just call it. You know, I'd be preaching to a bunch of people in boxes with air conditioning running. You know, that would have been interesting worship, wouldn't it? Oh, man. Well, have you noticed the way that our culture portrays men and fathers? Now, you can see it in television shows and movies and scripts. Lots of times, dads, maybe not in every circumstance, but in lots of circumstances, dads are portrayed as lazy and incompetent. You think Homer Simpson. You think Al Bundy. Bumbling, silly caricatures of fathers and husbands. They're an embarrassment to their family, to their kids. The wife has to step up and do things that the husband should be doing because he just is not able or not willing to be the dad he should be or the husband he should be. It's almost like they wrote character profiles based upon what Adam did or didn't do in the garden, isn't it? But this is not God's best for us as men. And last week we introduced the topic of man having a role to play in God's creation, one of redemption and reconciliation. We're going to pick up on that theme again this week. But instead of Genesis, we're going to be looking at Ephesians and Paul's letter to that church. Following along in your Bible, we're in Ephesians 5, 21 through 33. It'll be on the screen for you as well. Paul wrote this, submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. The wife her own husband, as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. He himself, the Savior of the body. But just as the church is subject to Christ, so also is the wife to husband in all things. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he may sanctify, cleansing by the washing of the water in the Spirit, that he may present the church glorious to himself, without spot or blemish or anything like that, but that it be holy and blameless. Thus the husband render love to his wife as his own body. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one hates his own body, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as also Christ to the church, of which we are a member of his body. He quotes, in the place of this, the man will leave his father and mother and will be joined to his wife, and the two will be one flesh. This is a great mystery, and I speak of Christ and the church. In any case, each should love your own wife as yourself, and the wife should fear her husband. Controversial verses today. If the temperature weren't already this hot, we'd be sweating, some of us, where we sit. Right? So we want to grasp the concept this morning that men play a vital role in God's restorative plan for relationships. Men play a vital role in God's restorative plan for relationships. Women do too, but the responsibility ultimately rests on the head of the household for the house being in order. That's us, guys. So this week we'll see how the curse, which we talked about last week, and its resulting effects, those rifts that we talked about between God and men and between us, each other, are restored with relationship. Now, it's important to note that one's role in the marriage doesn't dictate their importance before God. God sees men and women equally. Men are not more important to God than women. We're not communicating that this morning. And further, that the fullness of God's plan for leadership in the home cannot occur without the wife's help. So initially looking at these verses, we're going, well, you know, it seems like the husband's kind of the boss. I guess we got to do what he says. It's not as simple as all that. And we're going to see that today. So the first thing, if you're following along in your notes, we see here is the restoration of the wife to husband. The restoration of the wife to husband. In verses 21 through 24, Paul wrote, "Submitting to one another in the fear of Christ." Sets the stage for this. Then the wife, her own husband, as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, he himself the Savior of the body. But just as the church is subject to Christ, so also is the wife to husband in all things. And then down in verse 33 at the end of the passage, he reiterates this, the wife should fear her husband. So verse 21 ushers us into the submission of wife to husband in the verses that follow. There's a simile. He's saying it's like this, Paul is. The simile between Christ and your husband. Your husband is as Christ. Your relationship, your marriage relationship as husband to wife is as Christ's relationship is to the church. But it's not a one-to-one comparison. So we have to remember that, gals. Because if your expectations for your husband are to be Jesus Christ, he's going to disappoint you, right? Your husband isn't perfect. He makes mistakes. Your husband didn't die for your sins, did he? No. But the husband should receive submission. Husbands are the heads, just as Jesus is the head. And submission comes out of a healthy respect for the nature of the headship of that position. As we said earlier, it's not a question of who's more important than another. But who has what role? They're equal in God's eyes, but we have different roles as husbands and wife. And what we want to learn today is, husbands, if you don't do your job, it makes it really hard for the wife to do hers. Part of this is understanding that submission and reverence are positional. They're not earned. And this can be hard. Because sometimes we as husbands don't really act in such a way as to earn the reverence and the respect and the submission of our wives. We can be unkind. We can be irresponsible. We can be a lot of different things that don't make you want to respect us much at all. But the respect or the submission and the submission of a wife is similar to the respect and reverence and submission to governmental authorities. It comes with the office. It's not something that is necessarily earned. And this is hard because in most of our life, you want my respect, you have to earn it, right? That's what we say. Whether it's an employee or a boss or another relationship that we have, respect is earned. But I got to say this to you ladies this morning, without unconditional respect, your husband will either blow up or close up. A disrespected husband is a frustrated guy, and we handle that different ways. Sometimes we get really ornery, and we can be mean and unkind to try to demand that respect. Some husbands just close up. They get real quiet. They won't talk to you. So that's our message to wives. You can restore these relationships in as much as you're able, but it requires a respect, an unconditional respect. What do we do with a husband who won't lead? What do we do with a husband who won't love us the way that Jesus loved the church? It's a valid question. We talked about it a little bit last week. We want to build on that this week. We want to say encourage him. Encourage that man. There's verbal affirmation. You can tell him that you love him. You can find things that are good about him. Share those with him. You can lovingly, respectfully express disagreement. In fact, that's part of your job too as a helper. Your job is not to blindly go along with whatever the husband says, but In the times that you need to disagree, do so respectfully. Maybe don't do it in front of other people. His parents, your friends, maybe your kids. Find the right time and the place to do it. Say, I don't know about this. I'm not sure. Bottom line is, without support, he's going to be less likely to lead. Your husband might be insecure. We all have it. And without your love and support and respect, gals, it's going to be hard for him to do what God's called him to do. Ultimately, he's responsible for it, but you can help. Wives, you have amazing power in your home. Some of you know this. Some of you don't. But by encouraging your husband, you can profoundly change his life. How about this? Somebody say, well, what do we do if the husband's leadership is bad? Well, Paul wrote to that too. He wrote to the Corinthian church. He said, to the rest I say, I, not the Lord, that if any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever and she consents to live with him, he should not divorce her. If any woman has a husband who is an unbeliever and he consents to live with her, she should not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is made holy because of his wife, and the unbelieving wife is made holy because of her husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. But as it is, they are holy. What does Paul mean by holy here? Does he mean that they're saved on the benefit of a mom or a dad that's behaving as they should? No, that's not what it's talking about. It refers to the legitimacy of the marriage and the family despite being unequally yoked. These marriages and families receive Paul's blessing, and it is through this relationship that the gospel message is lived out. Most often by the wife, to be honest. That said, no wife should follow her husband off the cliff of sin. Her behavior should be winsome, should be holy, but she's never required to do anything illegal, immoral, or unethical. The wife's submission reverses the curse in that it allows a man to lead in a way that Adam did not. Remember, we looked at that last week. Adam was given authority, dominion over the beast of the field, but it was a beast of the field that got in there and was allowed to talk to the woman without Adam's intervention, without him exercising authority. Led to a problem. Well, next we see the restoration of God to man in these verses. I don't know if you saw this before, but it's right there. Verse 23 through 27. For husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. He himself the savior of the body. But just as the church is subject to Christ, so also is the wife to husband in all things. Husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he may sanctify, cleansing it by the washing of the water in the Spirit, that he may present the church glorious to himself, without spot or blemish or anything like that, but that it be holy and blameless. And at the end of the passage, he reiterates this point. He says, this is a great mystery. And I speak of Christ and the church. In any case, each should love your own wife as yourself. So there's the order of submission. That's what Paul is laying out here. Christ to husband to wife. This is the only way to reverse the curse in vertical and horizontal relationships. We have to understand first, Christ is the head of the church. The church submits to Christ. We do what he says. He's the boss. I'm not the boss. Elders aren't the boss. We're given positions of leadership and authority in the church, but ultimately, this church is only as healthy in as much as we obey Christ for his church. He's the head. He's the shepherd. We're just under shepherds. We report to him. Then husband to wife. Husband, as you obey, as you follow Christ, as you abide in him, you provide healthy spiritual leadership to your wife and your family. Well, John Maxwell has said that leaders must be able to be led. If a man can't be led, he probably is not a very good leader. It's a principle in business, principle in leadership. If we're not good followers of Christ, we're not good leaders in our marriage, guys. I have yet to see an exception to that. Husbands, if you do not submit to Christ, you make it exceedingly difficult for your wife to submit to you, creating a stumbling block in her life. Great question, guys, to ask when there is friction in your relationship. How did I lead to this? Now, you may find that sometimes it's not your fault, but I would say I got about a 90% track record of leading into problems in my house, if I'm being honest. Author Ken Nair says the behavior of our wives can be a great gauge of the Christ-likeness of our leadership. He says your wife holds up this amazing mirror to your holiness and your Christ-likeness. And we may want to look at our wives and say, look at, how am I supposed to lead this person? She's so mean or whatever. But guys, that's a mirror to your leadership. That's a mirror to how we are loving our wives. And we might be putting her in a situation that is very difficult for her to render respect to us because we are not leading them well. Guys, have we hurt our wives with the way we lead or the way we don't? Unless we have the courage to address this, it's just going to keep happening. We're going to keep being bugged. Paul is clear that our sacrifice, that is the expression of our love to our wives, results in her sanctity, which is her growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And this is a big deal because, guys, if we don't love our wives well, if we don't lead them well, we put a stumbling block in their life. But what does that mean practically? It means that we hinder their spiritual growth. We become a hurdle to their relationship with God when we don't lead them well. Further, we don't get any shalom in the home. That's a byproduct of it. We want our houses to be peaceful, loving. We want a tone of grace and love, but then we got to look at ourselves and go, well, are we leading to that? This isn't just calculating what we can get away with while at the same time trying to keep our wives happy. It's not what we're talking about. This is living and leading in such a way as to make our wife holy. See, we do this for the holiness of our wives, just like Jesus sacrificed for the holiness of his church. He said earlier in Ephesians, that is Paul, this mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Jesus Christ through the gospel. So the context of what we're talking about in marriage is also the context of the church. It's also the context of the greatest demonstration of sacrificial love our universe will ever know. This is God bringing unity where there was disunity. So Jesus' mission was to make the church from a bunch of different groups of people. This is the mystery Paul refers to, that you had all different people. You had Jews, you had Gentiles. But the church is made up of both groups who are circumcised not just in flesh but in heart, who were followers of Jesus Christ. Husbands can do this in the home by bringing unity and one another love to their house by following the example of Christ. Remember the order of submission from Christ to husband to wife. Guys, this only works if you're submitted to Christ. You only get what you really want in your marriage by submitting to Christ. And this is a little counterintuitive based upon what our culture tells us about how we get happy in our marriage, guys. Our culture says you do what you want. You follow your heart. You do what makes you happy. Well, you can be really happy in your marriage, but I guarantee you it's not going to come by making yourself happy first. It's going to be by serving your wife and your family and being sacrificial and humble and selfless in your love for them. Again, good leaders are able to be led. Are you being led by Jesus? Well, lastly here, we see the restoration of husband to wife. The restoration of husband to wife. In verse 25, Paul starts, husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he may sanctify, cleansing by the washing of the water and the Spirit, that he may present the church glorious to himself without spot or blemish or anything like that, but that it be holy and blameless. Thus the husband render love to his wife as his own body. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one hates his own body, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as also Christ to the church, of which we are a member of his body. And then down to verse 31. In place of this, the man will leave his father and mother and will be joined to his wife, and the two will be one flesh. So this verse, I mean, we're kind of glancing off of it today. There's a lot of really deep stuff here. But we're remembering that this is all occurring in the context of the love of Christ. Just as Jesus submitted himself to the Father to the point of death, resulting in the church, so the husband, sacrificing himself by dying to his own will and submitting himself to the will of the Father, leads to a new, healthy, holy family. A new unit of authority on the face of the earth to steward relationship, to spread the love of God. So just as Jesus' sacrifice nourishes the church with the truth, so the sacrificial love of the husband seeks to nourish his wife and his family. And here at the focal point of our passage, Paul articulates a version of the second great commandment. You remember what that is, right? You are to love one another as I loved you, Jesus said. You're to consider one another better than yourself. It's not just about happiness and comfort, although these may be byproducts, but spiritual wholeness. That's really what's on the line here. So while the husband should receive unconditional respect, so here the wife should receive unconditional love. And if we don't follow these commands, we get in big trouble. One book calls it the crazy cycle. Because here the husband is trying to extract respect from his wife, and here the wife is trying to extract love from her husband, and around you go, and you're bugged. And no conversation you have is without conflict and frustration, and everything turns into a fight, and you guys are just coexisting in your house. No shalom in the home, because you're on the crazy cycle. How do we stop the crazy cycle? We have to understand what Paul is calling us to, husbands and wives, here in this passage. For us guys, let me suggest this. This is a concern for the spiritual development of your wife even. So rather than just not placing a stumbling block in her way of her happiness, of her ability to show respect and submission, we move the other direction and we move toward actively pursuing her holiness. Some years ago, we were living in North Carolina. We were part of a small group, and we did a Chip Ingram study on marriage. And it was the video thing, so we all sit down and watch this video together. And I remember Chip asked this question. He said, "Hey, husbands, what is the plan you have for the holiness or the spiritual development of your wife?" And I was like, "What? Plan for a spiritual development for my wife? What are you talking about?" Well, he says, no, this is actually the job of the husband, is to understand your wife and to be this active part of her spiritual growth in your home. Wow, I never thought about that. I mean, do I need to put together a syllabus or something for my wife and kind of lay out some? No. But guys, are you available to talk about spiritual things with your wife? Are you able to pray together, talk about God's word together, to discuss what you're learning in life? See, it's giving thought to and actually maybe even planning how to help our wives grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's being a champion for that in your home. It's being an advocate for her. You do this well, Paul says, and it's like loving yourself, because no man doesn't cherish and nourish his own body. He gives us this interesting analogy here. We're really good at taking care of ourselves, guys. We're really in touch with our needs, aren't we? Are we as in touch with our wife's needs? Do this well, and it's like loving yourself. Unfortunately, for some husbands, we've adopted the idea for us to be happy in the marriage, we have to do for us first. I want to love myself, but if I don't love my, I want to love my wife, but if I don't love myself well, I can't love her. Lies. Lies. What does Paul say? Love her well. And guess what? If you're loving her well, you're actually loving yourself well. But it starts with, Because no man ever ignores his own needs, needs of his own body. See, we counsel people against self-sabotaging behaviors, but are we so careful as to cherish our own wives and nourish our own wives? See, not doing this, ignoring the care of our wives, is one of the most self-sabotaging behaviors we can ever do as a husband or a dad. See, when we serve ourselves, we cause divisions and misrepresent the picture of Jesus' love for his church. There's more at stake in our marriage here, guys. This, if we don't do this right, it ripples out into our families. It ripples out into our communities. And we represent New Life Fellowship here, whether you know it or not. Your marriage is important. Your family is important. Your credibility is important. Why? Because it speaks to a unity that has been long lost. Ultimately, guys, our love for our wives paints a picture of Jesus' love and sacrifice for his church. What picture are we painting for our wives, our kids, our neighborhoods, coworkers? Healthy marriages, families, and churches speak to who we follow. Jesus was clear about that in John 13, 35. He said, this is how you're going to know. This is how the world's going to know my disciples, by your one another love. Guys, this is one of the most important one another loves that we have to be about. Now, the second commandment is pretty general, love one another, you bet. But our wife has to be at the top of that list. We have to love her well, or this picture that Paul is trying to set up between Jesus and his church and the wife and the husband gets all messed up. See, men play a vital role in God's restorative plan for relationship. We don't do this right, guys, and we mess up what God is trying to do in our families and in his church, in our culture. See, God has not called us to follow the path of the first Adam, but that of the second Adam, Jesus Christ. We are not to live now as men of dust, but as men of spirit. Now, we've borne Adam's image, make no mistake, but we're also to bear the image now of the man of heaven, Jesus Christ. And this is to be demonstrated in how we love our wives. To this end, guys, we say healthy marriages are important because if you don't have healthy marriages, you don't have a healthy church. If you don't have a healthy church, you start to look at how that ripples out. You may not have a healthy community. So you may have seen an announcement in your bulletins and in emails that we're going to be putting on a marriage conference this October. Why are we doing this? Why would we spend the money? Why would we go through the logistical stuff of doing this? Because marriages are important. So I want to encourage you, make time for that. I believe it's October 15th, 16th, 17th, right in there. It's that weekend. $75. That's a lot of money. I know. It's a date. Cost of a date night, a nice date night. But we want you guys to come to that, okay? It's going to be put on by some dear friends of ours from North Carolina. We vetted them. We know they're good people. He used to be my boss, and he still likes me. So that speaks to his character. Roland and Tammy Martinez are going to be here in the middle of October. They're president of Christian Family Life, which is an organization that is committed to healthy marriages all over the world. And so they're going to be here with another couple. They're going to bring another couple, Gio and Susie. Gio used to be He was the chaplain for the Florida baseball team. Who knows baseball? The other one. Yes. Yeah, he was the chaplain for the Rays. So if you like baseball, maybe you could come talk baseball with Gio. But Gio's going to talk to you about your marriage, guys, okay? It's going to be a great time. So I want you guys to put that on your calendar. It's muy importante, okay? And they're all Cuban, so there's going to be some color, all right? Those guys are going to come with it. It's going to be super fun. But it's going to be a great time for us folks to just be able to sit down and hear some folks who are passionate about marriage talk to us about our marriages. And here's the key thing. It gives us the context to be able to have some discussions. Sometimes wives, you want to talk to your husband about something, or husbands, maybe you want to talk to your wives about something, but to just bring it up in the car as you're going down the road, you're going to get resistance. If we do a marriage conference, it kind of brings the topic up, gets these issues on the surface, and gives us a context through which to talk about them. And so we do that because we love you guys, and we want our church to be a healthy place, and we can't have a healthy church if we don't have healthy marriages, right? So that's my little plug for that. Plan on it. There'll be more details to come. Worship team, would you come on up? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the example of your son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that even though there was mistakes made in the history of mankind and we hurt relationships and there was breakdown, you've provided a way to restore those relationships through your son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for his example. And we know it's not easy. We know it requires us to unconditionally love and unconditionally respect. And there are big challenges to that. So God, I want to pray for us, husbands primarily, but also for wives in our marriage relationships. God, I ask that you would give us love for that person. Give us the ability to respect, regardless of what they've said or done. And God, we ask that you would even now begin preparing our hearts for a time in October of work on our marriage, of healing and restoration and of fun as well. I pray all these things in your name. Amen.